live from our living room. It's From Long Distance to Marriage with Andrea and Rich. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and made it through to marriage.
We talk long distance, marriage, and relationships.
Hello, and welcome to episode 17 of From Long Distance to Marriage. Today, we're going to talk about how arguments can affect relationships.
With our brand new microphone.
Yes, so bear with us if anything sounds funny. We're working out the kinks.
But we're leveling up.
Level two of podcasting skills out of like a billion. But yeah, arguing is something that can affect relationships of all kinds. Disagreements, fighting. I mean, we hesitate to call it fighting because that always makes me think of fisticuffs. And I hope you're not fighting in your relationship, like punching each other. But it is something that can uniquely affect long-distance relationships as well. And it's certainly something that we've had our fair share of experience with, especially back in the early days, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think when it comes to arguing in long-distance relationships, I always come back to a conversation that I had with a friend. It was when Rich and I were actually long-distance. We had met. I was back in America, and it was before we were able to close the distance. And my friend, he was a teacher. I worked with him. And he and his girlfriend had spent a lot of time long distance as well after they finished college. And he just said something that always stuck with me. He said, it really sucks because the things, the niggles, the annoyances that you normally wouldn't fight about if you're not in a long distance relationship suddenly become a much bigger problem when you are in a long distance relationship because emotions are heightened, you miss each other, you're frustrated, and you can't solve things face to face.
Especially, I think, if there's a lot of communication by text, you know, that's always a lot harder to, it's easier to misconstrue the tone of what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, so people always misinterpret what's in text. So for long distance, I think that's a big part of it.
So it's something to bear in mind if you are currently long distance and you're feeling frustrated or you feel like you're going through a period of time where you might be arguing more than normal. I mean, that long distance can magnify. And like you said, when you're communicating in different ways and you can't see each other face to face and you can't just talk it out maybe all the time, you know, it's a real problem. I mean, even for us being, you know, we're not long distance anymore, but if we're not together, maybe we're at work or something, if we start texting about an issue, it never really ends well, does it?
No, not really.
I mean, we've got to the point now where it's like if we're starting to text and get frustrated, we say, look, we need to talk about this later.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, is that over time, you learn each other's trigger point. I mean, we've mentioned this before. You learn what's going to set the other one off, what's going to set you off. You know, and unfortunately, that just comes from experience. So you're going to have the arguments before you can figure out how to not have the arguments.
Yeah, and I think some arguing is healthy. I meet people that say, oh, we've never argued. And at first, I don't really believe it. And second, how boring would that be to never disagree, to never...
Well, you can disagree and argue.
I guess. Yeah, that's true. But I do think it is good to have an argument once in a while.
I think if, like, you know that Friends episode when Monica and Chandler have their first fight and he's like, okay, well, I guess we're done now.
Yeah.
Because we had a fight. And I kind of feel like when you, if there's a benefit to arguing, I think is that you know you're on solid ground if you have an argument and you can move on from it. Whereas if you're in this couple that has somehow never argued and you make it for years like that, it must be pretty daunting when it does happen. You must think, what's changed? How are we going to deal with this? How do you move on from that? Because a big part of arguing is then the aftermath of that arguing. It's how do we talk again? Who approaches who?
Apologising.
The apology. Is it going to be awkward afterwards? You know, these are all big and important learning curves. If you're never arguing, then you're not able to do that. There's only so much you can know about your partner.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember some of our early arguments, and if you listen to, I think it was last week's episode, episode 15, no, 16.
About preparing to meet?
That might have been the one. I can't remember when we talked about it, because we kind of veered off topic. But anyways, if you listen to one of the most recent episodes, you'll know that Rich decided to test me and see if I was loyal by telling me that well, not telling me, by asking me what I would do if he had a 3-inch penis. And that was kind of our first, I mean, I wouldn't call it an argument, but I got really frustrated. I'm like, look, like, just fucking tell me if you have a 3-inch penis and we'll figure it out. If not, stop dicking with me and messing with manipulating me. So that was kind of our first little
argument. I think that's our first one.
I think that's the first one that I remember being actually really, really annoyed with you. And then there was, but then I also remember our first face-to-face proper argument. We were living, you'd come to the States. It was when you were out there for 6 months. And we were going to be going to California, like, for the weekend or something. And you wanted to go see a friend of yours. But my grandparents were, like, putting on a dinner or something.
That's right.
Anyways, it was just, it was hard for me because I had a lot of people that I wanted Rich to meet while he was out there. I obviously wanted him to meet my grandparents. I only had one set of living grandparents at the time. And now, unfortunately, they're gone as well. But, you know, you didn't get to see them very much. And it was important to me that, you know, they knew you a little bit. My whole family was a bit suspicious at first of the circumstances. But I remember not so much about what the contents of the argument were. It was more the feeling that I had around it. Like, I remember specifically thinking, you know, it's not just about you being mad at him. He's mad at you, too. And what does that mean? Like, I don't think you'd ever really been frustrated or angry at me yet. And that was the first time. Like, we were having this big argument. It was a trivial topic, but...
Was it a big argument?
It was the biggest we'd had, certainly. I counted it as our first actual argument. And yeah, I just remember feeling a bit scared because I was, you know, I think I'd been frustrated with you at times, but you, like I said, you hadn't really been with me, and I didn't really know what to do with that. Like, oh shit, he's actually mad at me. How do I act? What does this mean? Is he going to break up with me? It just kind of reminded me of what you were saying about Chandler and Monica in that episode. Like, oh, like, this is the first big one. What does that mean? Are we done? Like, what's happening? But it's important to still try and communicate with each other. I mean, when I moved over here, I think if you listen to some of our previous episodes, you'll probably know that we lived with Rich's mom and stepdad for the first few months until we were able to get enough savings under our belt to get our first apartment. And that was a tricky time. And then, but we actually got along pretty well during that time. It was when we got into our first place and we had money worries, you know, housekeeping, figuring out, you know, how we...
I don't think we had really money worries in that place.
We did a bit.
A little bit, but like, you walked to work, we had one car. Like, money wasn't as big of an issue, but I think what it was until that point, we'd lived with parents, yours or mine. That was the first time we're on our own, and that's when I think it becomes clear that your two backgrounds are sort of colliding a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's things like, I'm used to things being done this way, you know, and you're used to things being done that way, and that could be, why aren't the dishes washed up yet, or infamous towel argument. Like, it's things like that, and it's just, I'm not used to living like this, but the other one is used to living like this, and then it's then about finding that middle ground.
Yeah, and that's
hard.
And
then you move on and you make your own home between you, and we don't have those arguments anymore. But initially, that I think for a lot of people, that's a big cause of shit.
Yeah, and I think for us, we had the added, like, I was away from my family for the first time, so maybe where I would have had help with my mom coming in, showing me how to do certain things, you know, I didn't have that. And maybe at the time, I didn't feel comfortable asking your mom or stepmom for that kind of guidance, because I wanted it for my family, but I couldn't have it, really. I did call my mom.
You didn't have a stepmom at that time.
Well, okay, but dad's long-term girlfriend. But yeah, so that was a big thing for us. But I think if you're currently long distance, you know, we mentioned a bit earlier, how do you think, or can you give any ideas or tips for how people can communicate a bit better when they're long distance and maybe they're talking about something that's a bit difficult that's becoming an argument? Like, how can they...
Talk on the phone.
Rather than text.
For one.
Or FaceTime.
Yeah, I mean, talk verbally is what I mean. And then, I don't know, like I said before, I think there's an element of you have to have the arguments. There are learning curves.
Yeah.
Don't be scared of having the argument. Be respectful.
Yeah.
Because I think that's where damage is done in an argument. I know that's our worst arguments and the worst aftermath of an argument was if nasty things were said. Because then, yeah. Then it's beyond, look, we're disagreeing, and it goes into, you're a dick. and you said something that was personal and hurtful, and
yeah,
and so that, to try and avoid doing that, and then, but you know, like, try and take the high road. It's hard in the middle of it, but if you've got the clarity of thought to think, this is going nowhere, we're not, you know, let's pick this up later on.
Yeah.
I think we've tried to do that a few times, and when you say, look, let's walk away, let's call off, because once the emotions have died down, you can think, actually, do you know what, I'm being unreasonable there. The disagreement might be, I'm feeling insecure or worried about what the other person's saying, or I've never seen it that way, and you're never gonna come around to think about that in the heat of the moment when you're angry.
But that's, I agree, but I think it's trickier when you're long distance. Like, now we've gotten to a point to where we kind of understand, you know, you need your space, I sometimes need to...
That's a bit different, though. That's like you said, that we've learned that about each other needing space, but I'm saying, if you can think in the moment, because no, I know, but just can, sort can, of perpetuate, don't
can
you?
I finish that thought, though? Because yeah. I don't know if you know what I was kind of getting at. But, so, say you're on the phone, you're not getting anywhere, you're FaceTiming, you're long distance, and say, look, I think we're both a bit heated right now, we're not getting anywhere, let's talk tomorrow. Like, do you not think that...
I wouldn't say tomorrow.
Okay, in a few hours.
You'll sit there stewing on it, and... But I think what?
But do you think that could cause some... just anxieties and uncertainties? Because it's one thing if you say, okay, look, let's talk about this later, and you're living together because you're in the same house, or you know that they'll be back for dinner if they go out to go for a drive, clear their head, go do some errands, or whatever, like we sometimes do. But then, if you're not together, and you hang up, and it didn't end that well...
Yeah, I mean, it has some difficulties, but I think... the fundamental part of it is, you know, arguments rarely end well. They rarely end if someone's saying, because if nothing else, there's pride in arguments, and, you know, neither one wants to lose face, neither of you are thinking, like, okay, yeah, that's true. They'll end with, all right, fine, you're right, let's just do what you want to do. No one leaves happy from that situation, and there's going to be apology texts going around later on anyway. If you can just think, look, let's mutually say, let's talk in a couple of hours, you can then think about it in your own time and think, I was being unreasonable about that bit, they were being unreasonable about that bit, I see what they're saying about this, maybe I need to reframe what I'm saying to be more persuasive rather than just, this is what I want to do. Like, it's hard to say specifically without knowing what the topic is, but arguments are just ugly, and people don't want to concede. It becomes a war, really.
Yeah, it does.
So yeah, I totally agree with you that it is emotionally difficult when you're long distance. But if you're able to, say, let's come back to this in a couple of hours. Even if you say, right, it's 2 o'clock now, let's talk again at 4, like, put a time on it if you need to.
But yeah.
Not just, we'll talk about it next time. Put a date on it, put a time on it, but...
I think what makes it so difficult when you're not apart is, first of all, a lot of people have infamous makeup sex after an argument. You know, maybe not straight away, but obviously you can't have that physical closure after. Or, you know, like, sometimes we'll have an argument, and then we'll leave it, and we'll come back, and we'll say, look, you know what? I'm sorry for this. You'll say, yeah, I'm sorry for this. And then we'll have a kiss and a cuddle. We okay? Yep, we're good. Great. Let's have a nice rest of the day. There's so much... I mean, this might go back to love languages, and it might just be me, but I know for me there is so much reassuring in knowing the relationship's okay through physical contact, and I know that's such a big deal for me, because you can go very cold if you're still very upset. I keep lashing out, whereas you kind of sulk a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I know that you actually won't cuddle me unless you're ready to. And if you do, just to kind of, you know, placate me, I can tell. Like, oh, that was a really half-hearted hug. He's not, you know, it was like hugging a slug kind of thing. I just feel like there's so much more you can pick up on, and I just think that's the real challenge, and I don't know that I have any advice or any answer. It's more of an understanding of why it's so much harder when you're long distance. You can't do that, unless you can find a way to do it verbally. Oh, I wish we could kiss and make
but
up.
But at the
I
same
wish.
Time, like, that is true, but I kind of feel like, what are you arguing about long distance? I don't feel like the arguments we had long distance were as, I don't want to say severe, but... like
topics.
The topics are much more trivial. That's not to say they don't mean anything, they don't matter, they do, but it's more like, why didn't we talk tonight? Why weren't you available when you said you'd be... It's not, we're arguing about money because we can't afford to put food on the table tonight. It's not, I don't want to go around and see your family tonight. They're different things.
They are, but I think it's... We can only say, based off of what we know our arguments are about, other people could be fighting about or arguing you should move here, I should move there, you know.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
That's just, we didn't have serious topics. That doesn't mean other people don't.
And if you're in that stage of the relationship, that's going to be stressful.
There almost
certainly will be arguments. But I'm thinking more day-to-day, you're in long distance. I don't know, like, message us, tell us what are people arguing about.
Yeah, it could be jealousy, you know. Oh, I saw that you checked in with a bunch of friends and there was a girl there. You know, who knows? It could be a lot of different things. I don't think that just because you're long distance doesn't mean your relationship isn't as serious and you don't have serious things to argue about. No. They're different.
The relationship is just what I'm saying. I think a lot of the times the topics, the arguments won't be as serious.
No, but what I said earlier I think means true. Yeah, maybe the topics aren't as serious, but just because the frustration over being apart, things can elevate and it feels really serious.
Yeah.
And makes it more difficult.
I mean, the arguments aren't as big.
Maybe, but again, I don't think we can say that. I know ours weren't. Because, yeah, it's
I think there's an element, though, of when you're in long distance. When you have an argument in the same house, like, it's awkward. You slamming doors or being really quiet or one of you leaves.
Like now,
I mean, generally, when people argue in the same space, that has its own challenges. But when you're long distance, you might be thinking, well, one, you haven't got to worry about, oh, I'm going to slam this door or be really quiet with this door. And you might be thinking, oh, I'm really sorry we had that argument, you know, because there's that whole absence makes the heart grow fonder type thing.
Yeah, you might soften a bit quicker.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas now it's like, well, whatever, I'll see you later.
Or you can look back through
fine.
The text and think, I was kind of rude in that one. Or.
But what if you are doing it over the phone, like you said, you know? Arguing over the phone.
Yeah, then you can't look back on the text, but you hang up and they're not there, and then you think, oh, I wish they were there.
You're right, it is embarrassing though, because I think, like, look, I'm not proud of the way I get when we argue sometimes. I can get very banshee-like. And we do live in a house where we share a wall with our neighbour. And I do wonder sometimes how much he heard. Like,
he must hear loads, because we can hear him talking in there sometimes.
But only sometimes, yeah. And, I mean, usually we've got the TV on as well. But yeah, I mean, it is just embarrassing. I don't know. The other thing about it that I think is something to bear in mind, and this is something that you taught me in our early days when we argued a lot, and like you mentioned earlier, it was more figuring out how we can run the house and stuff, and I had that elevated sensitivity. I miss my family. I've moved here for you, and we're arguing, and it's also very dramatic. Not to make light of that, because it did feel very upsetting at the time. But what I was going to say. I interrupted
something
myself.
Something I taught you.
Something you taught me. So this was tricky because I wasn't very settled. I'd only been living here for maybe like 6 months. All my friends and family, of course, were back home. And I felt the need to talk a lot about our arguments. And because we were still figuring out how to communicate with each other during our arguments and after our arguments, I talked to my family. And I would call up my family in tears, usually my mom or my brother, and just be like, oh, this is happening, I don't, you know, and just tell them whatever was going on. And after a while, it really started to upset Rich.
Well, and you also did it with your best friend who hadn't met me.
Tabitha?
Yeah. I hadn't met her.
This is when I lived here. You'd met her.
Oh, it wasn't Tabitha. There,
you thinking of Jen?
Maybe Jen.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I thought, well, I didn't like, do you like with your family? I think, you know, arguing should be personal, but I thought, well, at least they know me.
Mm-hmm.
And they know you think, okay, you know, but for someone who hasn't met me and they're only getting that one side of the story, like,
especially in the early days of me moving here, like, oh, if it's already so upsetting,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
So I didn't really see a problem with it at first, and it, I got comfort out of it. I got advice, you know, no one ever said anything like, well, fuck him, he's a dickhead. Everyone's advice was very good. And that's when I got another very important piece of advice. During that time, I called my brother, who had also just gotten married maybe a few months before we did. And I was just like, oh, this is so hard. Like, I just don't know how to deal with it. And he said, look, as far as I can tell, a few months ahead of you in marriage, it's all about finding a way to say what you need to say in a way your partner will feel respected and can hear it. So don't just say whatever you need to say in a shitty, snotty way. You need to deliver it right. And I may have said that. I feel like that's come up in some previous episodes.
Yeah, and
but
I
it's
think,
very important, I think.
Yeah, sorry. It touches on what, I think it was last, or a recent episode, we made the point that, you know, people think counselling's only for when you're in trouble,
mm-hmm.
but counselling's for when you're in a good place as well. And I think, you know, you learned exactly things like that.
And I think people need to bear in mind that's a journey, because I worked years to try and get myself to where I could say what I needed to say in a way that Rich could hear it. And that wasn't because he was changing the way he needed to hear it or he was necessarily being unreasonable. Obviously, in the arguments, sometimes he was unreasonable because you're both arguing. You're going to both be unreasonable. That's why there's an argument. If you're both being perfectly wonderful and accepting and reasonable, there probably wouldn't be an argument. But it took a long time, and I would think, like, I'd approach a situation and think that I was being so calm and mature and delivering it the way he wanted to hear it, and it wouldn't make a difference. He'd still get pissed off, and it turned out that I was actually being really condescending.
Yeah, well, this is where personality traits come in as well, because one of your...
traits?
Like, well, you can get agitated with not knowing what's happening.
Yeah, it makes me restless and scared.
So yeah, you get restless and scared and your anxiety builds up and then you're like, I need to hear this.
Yeah.
And then I'll be saying, well, we don't know that, or it doesn't matter, like, not it doesn't matter, but like, this isn't as big as you're making it out to be. I'll tell you something else, because I think I can't just say that to placate you. So then we'll have an argument off of that, and I think that's just worth bearing in mind is, again, like you said, it's what to say, how to say it to the other person. Because obviously, like, you know, if you were with someone else, that argument may not happen because they would just say, okay, she needs to hear this, I'll say that. And if I was with someone else, that argument would be there because they may not need to have that reassurance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just where two people come together and
it's all very unique.
Yeah, it's very unique. So just be mindful of that. And I don't think you should just... I think it's patronising when someone say, okay, fine, I'll tell you what you need to hear. Like, that's what you do with children.
That wasn't what I was trying to say, though.
No, but that's why I've never done it. Like, so when we would have those arguments, because you'd say, I need to hear this, and if I wouldn't necessarily tell you that, because I think, well, I see you as a grown-up.
But no, that's... First of all, you're making me sound like a big child.
No, I'm saying that's how you treat children, say, okay, fine, I'll just fob you off with
but
that.
That's not what I'm saying when...
That's not what you're saying, it's what I'm saying. I'm saying that one of the reasons we have certain arguments is because you come to it and say, I need to hear this to be reassured. And I'm saying, you know, that...
I don't do that as much as I used to, I don't
think. No, you don't. You're much calmer now. But, you know, this is sort of going back a long time. But it's just where that's just part of your anxiety. You need the
But I think you've also softened a little bit to it as well. I think you... I don't know if it's where you're so philosophical or something, but you had a real... You were a real stickler for not just... I think you almost did it to maybe undo some damage that had been done with me my whole life being told, like, maybe what I just needed to hear. I don't know if you felt like it was your responsibility, but you were really strict about, like... No, like, I think you were trying to toughen me up in a nice way. And I think you realized that sometimes that worked, and there were some topics where you could say, no, I'm not going to say that. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. And there were times when you realized, okay, she really does need to hear this right now.
Yeah, it depends on what it was and is it a big deal and, like, yeah, we can make that happen or whatever, you know.
The tricky thing, though, is, and this is going to go down a really different path, so I'm not going to go too far down it, but if you're arguing with someone who does have anxiety, that brings a whole new element to it. And it's really difficult because, like I said, you're already not being logical, probably, if you're arguing. And anxious people... like myself, being logical in the heat of that anxiety can be an extra challenge. So that's something to bear in mind too. You know, you need to figure out, maybe have a conversation about, right, when we're arguing, I know it makes you more anxious.
But just
have a backup plan, maybe.
Going back to what I taught you, you didn't finish that. Was that not going back and talking to your parents?
Yes, sorry, we went down a different path there. Yeah, so, I mean, it took me a while, because then I didn't really realize that it was being disrespectful to run to someone who wasn't close to the situation and couldn't see that actually I was pretty happy and tell them about the arguments. And, you know, it took you telling me, this upsets me, this makes me feel like you're making me out to be a bad guy or you're just airing our dirty laundry. I mean, I've never been the kind of person to go on Facebook and be like, oh, this idiot that I'm with, you know, like, you need to be respectful is basically what I'm getting at. You know, argue, figure it out. If you do need to talk to someone about it, because sometimes I think women do need to get an outside perspective before they realize they're being unreasonable. You know, one of my friends, my really good friend, came to me the other day and said, look at this conversation I had. I mean, it wasn't between her partner, but with another friend of hers. She's like, am I being unrealistic? Am I being ridiculous? And I had to say, yeah, you kind of are. Like,
you're being unrealistic, you're being, you know, difficult. You know, sometimes women need that, I think. So if you do feel that you need to speak to someone, you need to speak to someone who knows both of you well, who, you know, is maybe a little bit less likely to judge, and maybe not your mom or someone like that, who's going to maybe find a way to think, oh no, maybe this isn't a good match, maybe it's not going well. You just need to really think about how you can be respectful doing that, because that's a mistake that I made early on and hurt Rich. I think it hurt you.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
You made it seem more like you were angry about it, but looking back now, I think it hurt your feelings.
Well, I also had to say it repeatedly before you actually took it on board.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that sort of setting boundaries is an important part of this topic. So that's one of my boundaries was, I think any relationship, generally speaking, it's between the couple. And that's not to say you can never talk to other people, but... You know, some people, and you were guilty of that. It was a matter of course. You have an argument, I'm going to go and tell them about it. And then...
But it wasn't... My purpose wasn't to make you sound bad or to talk shit about you. I needed help to figure out how to fix it or whatever, or to deal with it. And.
But anyway, so setting boundaries.
Yeah.
Interrupting is one of them.
You're just as bad as me.
Yeah, so that's one of them. But, you know, as far as arguing goes, if you can set boundaries, I think you'll have fewer arguments because you won't say, okay, that's...
A hard no, or whatever.
That's their red line, you know. So I know if this happens, this is going to be an argument. For both sides, you know, if I do this, there'll be an argument. If they do it, there'll be an argument. And you can... Again, that just comes down to knowing each other. But don't... And I think the extension of that is you need to be upfront with what your boundaries are. You can't just expect them to know. It's not fair for you to not say, that bothers me, and then... repeatedly get bothered by when it happens.
But I think maybe you might have to learn as you go what your boundaries are, especially if it's your first...
Yeah, of course, I don't mean like the first time. Yeah. Obviously, you're going to get annoyed the first time, but if you're saying, right, that annoys me and I know it, but I'm not going to mention it, and then 6, 12 months, 2 years down the line, you've still not mentioned it, you've done nothing to stop it happening, you've done nothing to communicate that you don't like it, you can't hold the other person accountable for it because they don't know.
There's a way to do that, though, and it is tricky. I mean, I don't think we've 100% figured that out completely. I mean... Every now and then, maybe every year or two, we have these talks, and maybe it's, you know, a few weeks after we've had an argument, and we talk about, but we're not arguing about how we are when we argue, and we can say, oh yeah, it's really hurtful when you do this, and yeah, I know, I think I do that because of this, and maybe I shouldn't, and we have this really open conversation about it, and it's always really, really nice, and we feel really close after, but those just kind of happen organically. And I think it can be difficult to know how to communicate to someone, look, we had this argument, and you did this, and it really pissed me off. Like, you can't do it in the heat, because we went through a period where I talked really badly and swore a lot to Rich during these arguments, and I'm not proud of it at all, and I think we're both a lot better than we used to be. We're both very fiery, we're both very stubborn, and when we have a heated argument, which thankfully we don't really anymore, it's not pretty, it's loud, it's hurtful. And it sucks, but it's because we love each other so much and we're so similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's down to our communication style. Like, you know, we swear, and then it took a long time to realise, like, especially for me, like, if I'm in an argument, I'll swear almost instead of pausing. Like, if I don't know what to say, I'll just say, fuck. So I think when we have early arguments, you're like, oh, why are you swearing at me so much? And then...
Yeah.
But I would just swear in the argument...
About the situation.
And then you would swear at me. Like, you would... You'd be
reading. Oh, but I thought you were swearing at me.
Yeah, so that was one of our learning curves, you know. I remember one of our arguments was I was only being playful with you. You didn't like the t-shirt I was wearing. And he said, it's too long, and he said I was wearing a dress. And I was being quite playful, and I told you, I was like, I'll fuck off and die. Do you remember that?
No, that was not when that was. You told me that in the middle of an argument.
No, it wasn't you. And that's when you... This was... I remember going down the stairs.
Where were we? Are you in King's...
Yeah, King's Hill. In the house. And then you were on the phone... Crying about how I'd said this. Like, I'm gonna move back home.
No, maybe you said it to me more than once then, because we definitely sat in the heat of an argument. You were just annoyed with me. Like, it was just like, it hadn't escalated to a full on argument, but you were like, fuck off and die. And I just thought you were the worst person ever.
Yeah, you took it. And
then I went out for a run and like.
But that was the point, was how it was taken wasn't how it was intended.
Well, I don't know how you can ever intend for that to be taken well. Sorry.
It took a long time for you to come around to...
Well, you're still not allowed to say it to me, and you never have again.
No, I
haven't. You learned.
I learned. But, you know, it took you a long time to come around to the difference in how people talk to each other here. Like, you were saying, like, even our family... Like,
people are a lot harsher with the way they talk to each other here, and it's not...
But it's all playful.
Yeah, I mean, the words they use, and they swear a lot, like, oh, fuck off, you idiot. Like, that's yeah, like, seemed pretty harsh to me.
So when, you know, and I think that was part of it is I could have said that to someone else and it would have been taken softer.
Yeah, I mean, that is something that you might also have to bear in mind when arguing is your cultural differences.
Yeah, because I think you don't really expect there to be many between countries like America and the UK. You kind
it's
of feel
very
like
different.
We're broad.
The sense of humor is very
yeah,
different.
But you kind of expect it to be broadly similar, but
I mean, it is, but
it is, but humor is different. The way we talk is different. Certainly, how we swear to each other is different.
Yeah.
Especially like, you know, British people is just
awful.
You don't bat an eyelid. Like it's routine to take the piss out.
Well,
of
Well, no, like, what's that story you told me the other day about the C word? Now, I don't want to offend anyone. We probably won't actually drop the C bomb. But it is, and when...
If you're going to tell a story, you have to drop it. If anyone's offended, like...
If you don't know what the C-bomb is, it's the word cunt.
We're not going to say it.
Well, I just... Well, we shouldn't, but in case they don't know what the C-bomb is... Again, like, other countries don't say it as
much as they do. It
doesn't count
when it's quoted, anyway.
Well, anyways, it is said a lot here. It's said as, like, a full-on swear word, you know, like...
It's very generational. Like, my parents fucking
hate
that
word. No, your mom
hates
it.
Like,
you can't even say words that sound like it. She gets offended. But... See you next Tuesday.
Yeah.
The word.
What am I supposed to be saying here?
Well, that's... Actually, let me get some background. So, it's said a lot here. It's almost said in a joking manner, too. Like, you
it's
might see a friend. It can be affectionate, but it can be someone cuts you off on the road. Oh, you effing...
Do you know what? Like, I would call you a cunt sooner than I'd call you a bitch. I think... Especially talking to a lady, like, I think bitches are particularly... I think because it's been...
I don't
been,
think any of these are good.
It's been built up to such an extent, like, that's just a horrible, harsh... Like,
bitch?
Oh, yeah. Like, you can say, oh, yeah, she's a bit of a bitch. But I wouldn't call you one.
Yeah, I don't think you've... Maybe once you've
I think
actually...
I,
ever, I think maybe once.
I think it's a really harsh word, like...
You've said you're being bitchy.
And it, yeah, I say you're being bitchy, but it's also...
That's just a cop-out. That's your way of saying you're being a bitch, but...
No, like, anyone can be bitchy, but to be a bitch, like, that's very gender-specific... You know, as a woman,
like
you're a bitch. Yeah, like, I think that's really... It's raw. Whereas I think the C-bomb is... there's all different contexts you can say that. You know, and I suppose the story you're saying is when I left work on Friday.
With Gus.
No, what did I say to Gus?
You just... So, Gus is his really good friend. We're using names in this episode. I don't know if we should be doing that.
Yeah. But yeah, so here's my old housemate from uni.
Yeah, you live together. But you said when you guys first met, you kind of hung out a few times, and you said, "What did you say?"
Oh no, this wasn't when we hung out a few times. This was after a couple of years, and then he moved into my house.
Oh, so you hadn't lived together; you lived near each other.
Yeah, we'd shared a building the first time.
Yeah,
with like 20
flat,
apartments,
like an apartment building. Yeah,
but we were on different floors. Then we moved to different houses, but we hung out a lot. And then
you did live across the street or something.
Yeah, and then
yeah.
In the third year, he came to live in our house. He moved in, and I said something like,
"So you've been
oh,
friends for a while."
Yeah, we've been
yeah.
friends a couple of years, and I was like, "You know, oh, you're right, you dick," something like that. You know, you just
oh, it was dick, not
I didn't, and we do call each other that,
but that wasn't okay.
And he said it's nice to live somewhere where you can talk to each other like that, because basically his old housemate got really
yeah.
offended. He's like, "What'd you call me a dick for?"
Yeah, so all I'm saying is that some of these things can be a bit more affectionate, whereas and maybe in parts of America, it, you know, it's more like that. But certainly the people.
So I thought you were going to talk about... I said to you the other day I left work on Friday.
Oh, yes. That I forgot about that, too.
And
yeah.
I packed my bag and I stood up. I was like, right, I'll see you cunts on Monday.
Yeah.
Or next week, whatever. I don't think I'd say that generally in America.
No, it's very different. I mean, I think swear words are seen as swear words in America. They don't have different uses like they do here. So that's just something else to bear in mind when you're arguing. But yeah, what I was trying to get at is when a few minutes ago you were saying how if there's something that's occurring in arguments, you need to communicate that you don't like it so that it doesn't keep going on. Because if it's a trigger for you and it makes you then act worse, it just makes the argument worse. But that's tricky because I remember during this period where we were arguing a lot, I was speaking to you really bad and swearing at you. You would say, while I was trying to get my words out, "Don't talk to me like that."
Mm.
And it was my trigger because not only were you not listening to what I was needing to say... Okay, I wasn't saying it to you in a great way. I accept that now. But you were cutting me off, and it just made me angrier. And I'd say, like, "I'll fucking talk to you however I want to talk." Like, it wasn't good.
And then I shut down, because I, you know, that was my trigger. You talking about that puts my back up. I think we're not going to get
it.
So then I say to you, "Don't talk about that. This isn't going to get anywhere." And then that sets you off, which shuts me down. And then
yeah,
we're like,
and it
well,
was
the...
ugly. We were both doing things
and this
that
loops back to what I said earlier, you know, the beginning was... if you're in the heat of that moment, there's never going to be a resolution to that argument in that situation.
Yeah.
Because you get to the point where you're both angry at each other.
Yeah.
And the best thing to do then is just say, look, let's come back to this.
Yeah. But what you should, and maybe you did, you know, because it went on for a long time, but maybe what you should have done more consistently would be say, when we weren't arguing, hey, look, you know that fight we had yesterday? I know we've made up, but when you talk to me like that, it does this, and I can't, blah, blah, blah. You know, you need to communicate it when the time's right. In the middle of it, you can't communicate, stop doing this, stop doing that. And the other thing that made me mad is, at the time, was like, I would, so like, you'd say that, and then the next time we'd argue, I'd try really hard not to swear. Mm. I'd literally just raise my voice, and you'd be like, don't talk to me like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're in an argument, and you expect me not to raise my voice? Like, you're raising your voice at me. So it just, it wasn't working, and we've gotten away from that, thankfully. Like I said, we barely argue anymore.
But we barely argue anymore, but that's because we've had a lot of arguments.
Yeah, we got it all out.
That's the important thing, is we've learned the reason we don't argue as much isn't because we never have anything to disagree about. We do, but we know how to talk to each other. We know when to walk away. We know how to make up. Like you said, if we have an argument, you used to pester me. We'd have an argument, but I need this to be okay. I need this to be okay. You know, whatever. Now you're much more likely to do something else for half an hour, and then we'll come back together and talk about it. And it's all that stuff combined, and you only get there through having the arguments. It kind of sounds counterintuitive that you need the arguments to stop having the arguments, but that's what it was.
Yeah, and I mean, I've gotten a lot better with that, but you've also gotten a lot better at not being so sulky and cold and, like, wouldn't even look at me after the argument. Like, you were really, really... My family and I are all very similar, particularly, like, my sister and I. We will blow up at people, we'll get what we out we need to say, we'll both apologize, admit we were wrong, and then we're fine. You're not like that. You need time. You're getting better at it.
I generally am like that, but I think what it is you can't expect when... I don't mean you, I mean anyone. You can't expect that when you've cooled down, the other person's in the exact same place at the exact same time. It doesn't work like that, so... Fine, you know, person A may have cooled down after 5 minutes, but person B may need an hour to cool down. I don't carry a grudge over to the next day or, you know...
Not really,
no. You know, if we have an argument in the morning, I'll certainly be done later that day, but I won't necessarily be done immediately.
No.
Or the same... And that's, I think, all couples need to bear in mind that, well, I'm done now. Okay, they need a little bit more time.
Yeah.
They will be done in their own time.
It's hard, though. I mean, it's something, and this is something to be aware of for those people who may be getting ready to close the distance. If you are the person who is moving to be with the other person, I can only speak for myself, but that's something that I really struggle with the arguments, because it wasn't just, oh, this sucks, like, you know, we're not getting along, and all the anxiety that can go along with just arguing with your partner and that being ugly. But I also had this feeling of, like, complete isolation, because I moved here to be with Rich. Obviously, I get along with his family well. I had made a few friends, but he is the center of my life here. Like, realistically, I am here because of him, and there's no way to say that's not true. So when we would argue and he would be cold, and because that's how he deals, and that's, he's entitled to that, I would feel completely alone, and it would send me into a full-on panic attack, because I was terrified, like, oh, what's gonna happen? And there was really no logic to it. But I just felt so alone. And one time we had a really big argument in our second flat. Do you remember the one where we, like...
Mm.
I don't know if we've talked about it. I think we have. Like, he was...
I think we have.
Yeah, he was... We were not getting on. He called me a really bad name. I went into the room to, like...
Isn't that when I called you a cunt?
You called me a cunt. Yeah, and this is before I... Again, I was under... You know, real... And you don't really do... You don't call me that in a fight anymore. Jokingly, no. You'd be like, come here, you cute little cunt. Or something like that. Like, yeah. Which... Don't get offended for me. I'm okay with that.
And you're the same.
Oh, yeah.
I am frequently called a cunt.
In a loving way.
In a loving way.
Or a teasing way. Yeah. Not frequently, but I'd say regularly. But I went, and so anyways, he called me that as he walked out of the kitchen. I followed him into the other room, like, shaking my finger in his face. I had no intention of touching him, but just saying, don't ever call me that again. He thought I was going to, like, slap him or push him or something. So he grabbed my wrist to stop what he thought was going to be, you know, a hit. And then we had this weird little, like, shuffle pushing each other, like, we didn't know what was going on, but he was really upsetting because, I mean, it actually didn't really get physical, but we thought it was getting physical, and that it became kind of physical because we were trying to stop each other, and it was really upsetting.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is understand that when you fight and you've left to move with that person, it might be more hurtful, it might be more upsetting, you might feel more panicked about those fights, because I certainly did. And it actually took me a while to realize what I was doing. I was working myself up into such a panic, and I actually would almost do it on purpose, I realized, because if I got really worked up and panicky, you would want to comfort me and feel bad. And I didn't realize at first that I was manipulating you. I just thought, I'm making it okay, I'm ending the fight. And then I realized after a while, like, oh shit, like, I'm not letting him feel what he needs to feel. I'm not letting this argument take its natural course. I'm controlling it by working myself up. Like, I wasn't faking it. I genuinely was getting myself into panic. But I was pushing myself to that and making it worse so that then you would come and comfort me. And I think one time you came and comforted me and you said, I'm almost glad that you got that upset because it made me realize how bad this argument was. And I think it was kind of around that time that I realized I cannot push myself to that because that's not fair.
But I think also the point, just sort of going back a little bit, if you're in a relationship where you're having arguments for possibly the first time, you know, and you're maybe having quite a few arguments, it can be worrying. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, does this mean we're not compatible? We're not going to...
Yeah.
So I think we, don't worry about that. Like you said, we've had sort of all sorts of arguments. We've been through periods where we argued a lot.
More than we got along. Yeah,
more than we got along. We've had arguments over really stupid stuff. We've had arguments over more serious stuff. We've had, arguments where we didn't talk afterwards. Like, we've been through all of it, I think.
Yeah.
And we're still married. Like you said, we got to the point where we don't really argue anymore.
But we also still really loved each other and still really got along during those periods.
Yeah. Interruption boundary, remember? The point I was making...
Don't talk to me like that.
The point I'm making is, if anyone's listening to this and they're feeling like, oh, I'm marking the time, does this mean we're not compatible? Or you listen to this and then you argue down the line with them. Don't worry about it. Fine, there may be some relationships where they don't make it, but I think generally speaking, arguing itself isn't cause to break up.
Yeah, and I think that
maybe the topic of argument or the resolutions of being there may be an indication that this isn't going anywhere. But don't think that because you're arguing, there's no future in it.
Yeah, and I think the general rule, I don't know where I heard it, but as long as the good outweighs the bad in a relationship consistently, there may be periods where, maybe the bad outweighs the good for a few days or something like that, but generally...
Or a few months.
Yeah, depending on the situation.
Think about where you are in life at that moment. Like you said, have you just moved across the world to be somewhere and you're in... Yeah, and like some of the people that we follow and follow watch, they're moving to countries that speak different languages. Mm. Like, these are stressful situations. So think about all that, what is the current life stage? Because that's going to have an impact on how well you get along, on your mental well-being, all that kind of
thing. Make allowances for that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, just think, actually, I'm just feeling more stressed because I'm in a country that doesn't speak my language and we're not really getting on the minute.
Yeah,
this is probably going to pass quite soon. Very different too. We're arguing because this person's a fucking loser who never gets off the couch, doesn't treat me right, doesn't respect me. They're very different.
Yeah.
So the arguing itself, I don't think is...
But whatever the root of it is, you need to be aware of that if that's an issue.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, and just because that period smooths out, like Rich said, I've just moved over here or whatever, I'm that stressful, it'll get better. Things may get unbetter again.
You mean worse?
Yeah. But, like, with being cute. For instance, you both be maybe really stressed at work, and that will transfer into your home life. Kids, we're not thinking we're going to do that, but we've seen what it can do to other couples. And even though you love your kids, you love your partner, it's more stress, it's hard, and you argue more. It's going to be a natural part of most relationships throughout the duration of the relationship, whether that's a couple years or forever.
Yeah, there are times, like, you can see when the other person is in a place where you might have an argument. Recently is in the morning, you had a really bad night's sleep and I said something and you responded in a way that I thought wasn't really proportionate to what had been said, and you're like, I've not slept, like, don't fucking be like that. And I was like, okay, fine. Whereas years ago I'd have been like, don't talk to me like that. I haven't said anything to you. And then what I was doing was basically belittling how you were feeling.
Yeah.
Because I said, well, I haven't said anything to you to make you feel that way, so you shouldn't. Which didn't allow for the fact that you were feeling...
Already feeling something, yeah.
Yeah, you were feeling sensitive or tired or whatever. Yeah. So it's respect on both sides. But it's now we can say, fine, whatever. Yeah, and then, you know, after a couple of minutes, it's... We were fine.
Yeah.
You know, you were going to work. And so, you know, yeah, again, and I know we keep saying it, but we've had so many arguments, we now know, okay, this is how not to have this argument today.
Well, like, I also know, you also learn when to talk to people about things, because I also know, yeah, if I've had a bad night's sleep, I'm grumpy, I'm sensitive. I also know that even if you've had a good night's sleep, you're not at your best in the morning.
No.
So, like, if I need to talk to you about something, or I need to ask you something serious, the morning isn't the best. Like, even if I'm quite happy and just chatting away
sometimes that's worse.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be like, oh, today I've got this going on, and then this week you're doing this, and you're like, why are you talking to me so much? It's morning. Like, I'm just sitting here eating my breakfast, leave me alone. And I get really hurt, because I'm like, but I'm being really pleasant. Like, I'm just chit-chatting away, you know, excited about whatever we're going to do this weekend.
And I like some calm. Like, like today's a great example of a good morning for me. I got up, you were still in bed, I woke up on my own, I went for a run, came back, then you're awake. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling like...
You've had time to wake up.
I've had time, I've achieved something. I also like waking up really early, like getting up, having a cup of coffee and reading. I like peace, quiet, time to myself in the morning.
Yeah.
But I get out of bed and 10 minutes later I'm at the breakfast bar eating breakfast and there's noise, especially noise in my direction. That's the complete opposite of my ideal morning. So it's not that you've done anything wrong, it's just not how I prefer to operate. Yeah. And also bear in mind, if anyone listening is... We wake up at different times. So by the time you're in the kitchen doing this chit-chatting, you've been up for an hour.
Maybe half an hour.
You've showered, you've done your hair, you know, you're awake and fresh and looking forward to that. And I'm thinking, fucking hell, I'm tired.
Well, what's actually been better is, like, this past week, I've had a lot going on at work. So I was getting up earlier and going to work. And so the way it was kind of lining up is as I'm getting dressed, because I get ready, do my hair and makeup, get back in my pajamas after my shower and stuff, then get dressed right before I go. So I come in to wake you up at the time you normally get up, get dressed. So by the time you're actually up, I'm out the door.
Yeah, it's great.
So I'm not here to bother you. I might say, like, hey, it's time to get up.
Yeah.
Don't forget we have this today. That's fine. And I never ask him to do anything I need in the morning either, because the amount of times he'll be on his phone eating his breakfast, and I'm like, hey, babe, I've just loaded up the dishwasher, the tablet's in there. If you could just put your bowl in and push start when you're done. Yeah. I get home, there's fucking dishes everywhere, the dishwasher hasn't been turned on, and I say a lot of bad things about him. And even if...
But then you're always like, do you not remember this conversation? I'm like,
no.
No. I genuinely don't.
And so I'll be like, babe, put your phone down, look at me, and then you get, what? Like, what do you want from me? It's morning. So it's figuring out the times...
This is why we don't need children, because we are each other's child.
You're basically my child.
And you're basically my child.
No, yeah, I am wonderful and perfect in all ways. It's like that thing, did you see that thing I shared on Facebook last night? Like, husband... I've looked everywhere. I can't find it. What that means is I've looked nowhere. I need you for everything, my darling wife. And that is true.
That is true. Yeah, that is true.
You get so frustrated. Like, you threw this away again, didn't you? Because I have a tendency of throwing things away that I don't know he needs. But even if I haven't...
Or putting things in a safe place, never to be seen again.
But oftentimes, that's not the case. It's just that you haven't looked beyond your nose.
Well, because... We're going to get into this. Like,
I get into it.
You will put things that deserve to go away... in random places.
Yeah, I do.
Like the time you put the tape measure in the bathroom drawer.
Did I?
Yeah, so I'm looking for it in the usual place. I'm looking in the DIY drawer. I'm looking in my tool bag. I'm looking where you'd expect to look. No man or woman is going to go, tape measure, that's blatantly in the bathroom drawer.
I think
with the razors.
What happens is Rich tends to leave, like, he'll get something out. Like, we've still got fucking doorknobs on our windowsill from when you moved a door like 3 months ago. He just does not put anything away. I'm not great with certain things, too, as a disclaimer, but I'm a lot better than him in some ways. So what happens is we'll have people coming around, and I'll think, oh, I better...
Put that in the nearest available space.
Yeah, exactly, because I don't have time, because there's so much shit to clean up after.
Which
you.
Is fine, but what you should do is either write it down, or just say, FYI, tape measures in the
but
bathroom drawer.
I have to stash so much of your random shit that I can't remember where it all goes. But yeah, now you get to see how we argue. That's basically how we argue now.
Yeah,
it's humorous.
Yeah.
There was one point...
We had it the other day. I was trying to do some steam cleaning and the fucking nozzles disappeared and I'm convinced you put it somewhere. I'd spend £15 on a new one and I know that that's going to turn up one day.
Well, then we'll have two. It'll be great.
Because what did I do? I opened the drawer... No. I opened the cupboard door and there was something completely random in there. And I was like, this is an example of what I'm talking about.
I just have too much stuff. But this is kind of how it's become. I remember our first really comical argument. We were living...
It was the towels. We started laughing.
No, that was a fight.
Yeah, but then we started laughing. Like, this is ridiculous.
I think it was. But I remember the first proper one where the whole thing was comical. It didn't end up comical. It was when we were renting your dad's house. And I think as much as we liked the house, we didn't like the layout of the house. Mm. And it was just like the kitchen was really old and dingy. Everything worked fine. And it was really nice if your dad let us live there. But I don't think we felt proud of that house. So we didn't keep it as tidy as like we do our house now or previous apartments that we've had. There's a lot to be said for feeling proud of the property and then wanting to do more to it. And we didn't. And so it was just a mess. And we were both getting frustrated about it. And we walked around the apartment saying, that's your mess. No, that's your mess.
Yeah.
That's your mess. And we were like, we were laughing the whole time because we both hated it. And we both were being messy. And Rich used to have several reptiles. At the time, he had a snake and a bearded dragon. And because we had nowhere else to put them, they were, like, in the living room. And he had bought this really expensive... You know, had this custom-made vivarium for the snake that had cupboards and stuff underneath. And, like, a cabinet door. And I was so glad he got it because finally he won't have, like, tubs of bugs and, like, spray bottles and paper, like, shit everywhere. It'll all be in this cupboard.
I used to leave it all on top of the tank.
So yes, you did.
Yeah, but just for people who
No, you leave it everywhere, so all around the tank.
You walk in there, just there'd be stuff all around.
And it really got me down. So that's the first thing you see when you walk into this room. Like, can we not keep it tidier? So when you got this one with cupboards, I thought that'll be great. What'd you do? You filled the cupboards with other shit and still kept everything on top. We were walking around the house. That's your mess. That's your mess. And we got in front of the vivariums, and I just pointed and I said, "I win." And you just laughed, and you're like, "Yeah, fair enough. You do. It's a shithole." So. Try and be humorous, but maybe try and do it in a way that isn't going to offend the other person, because if they're feeling seriously upset and you're laughing about something, that's probably not going to go down very well.
Mm-hmm.
But you will get through the point where you can do that together naturally, I think.
Yeah.
And again, I think this is one of those episodes where there's no real, this is what you should do, resolution. It's just examining it. There's a lot of different reasons that people can argue. Like, we talk money, missing each other, jealousy, house stuff. All the stuff that needs to be done. Kids, there's so many reasons you can argue. But really, at the end of the day, you're still two people who really, really love each other, and you just need to remember that when you start to get angry. Be respectful. Try not to badmouth each other. Sometimes you're going to need to. And always try and do it when you're not actually angry. Like, I was driving home talking to my best friend the other day, and she was annoyed with her husband about something he was doing. And she's like, do you ever feel like this? And I was like, oh, God, yeah, I totally feel like that when he does X, Y, or Z. You know, I feel...
Z
for the Brits, Z for probably everyone else in the world.
X, Y, Z.
X, Y, Z. That's so fucking stupid.
It's not as stupid as X, Y, Z.
It's not as stupid as your face. I like your face.
You can sit on it.
Richard.
Sorry.
Even the dogs are offended in the garden. You can hear him barking. How dare you? On live? Well, not live, but on podcast and stuff. Anyways, it's going to be shit, but like Rich said, you got to do some of it to get through it and learn how to talk to each other. Take time. Don't push it. That was a big mistake that I made. Like, I wanted to resolve it then and there, because like I said, I blow up and then I'm resolved it and I'm happy again. Like, I'm done with the fight. Whereas some people need to be left alone. I would, like, follow you around the house. Like, we're not done yet. We're not done yet. Yeah. I'd come in and unplug your video game machine while you're playing it. We're still talking. And I'm not happy. I'm not proud of that, but I accept it because I had to learn it. And you have to learn a lot when it comes to arguing in relationships and stuff. So
yeah,
be patient with each other and be patient with yourselves while you figure out how to do it. But definitely with the long-distance stuff, just try and remember that... The way you're feeling, because you're missing them, you're frustrated, you might be projecting some of that and making things that aren't as big of a deal feel like they are a bigger deal. And the distance can cause anxiety, which can make everything feel worse. So just try and bear that in mind.
Yeah, and I think pay attention to where you can take some blame.
Yeah.
Because it's really easy when
that's hard to get to.
It is, but it's really easy to think, oh, that's all the other person's fault, and... But it's not. It's, you know, maybe you weren't articulating it properly. Maybe you were being unreasonable. Maybe, like, it was the wrong time. There's any number of reasons. The arguments are rarely one person.
Exactly. And I think that was something I struggled with. I mean, when we went through this period of where we were always arguing, I remember saying to you, like, I don't know if I'm crazy because I do not feel like I can always be wrong.
And of course, but it's weird because you are.
You can shut your face right now, you cheeky cunt.
We've said cunt so much.
I know. Are we going to get in trouble?
After you said, we won't say it.
I know.
We're going to lose all our subscribers.
I hope not. Please don't unfollow us, all four of you. What was I saying before
something
you...
Something about cunt.
No, what was I saying before that?
About being crazy.
Yeah, yeah, I felt like... He obviously thinks I am so wrong and these fights were ugly. Like, how could I be wrong all the time? I'm not an idiot.
It was a mystery, yeah.
Richard, stop. I'm being serious right now. This is another thing that makes us fight. Like, I'm being serious.
Yeah, we'll have an argument as soon as we finish recording.
Yeah, it. I'll be like, you cheeky fuck, you know... we won't. It'll be fine. But no, it is hard because you can feel like he always thinks I'm wrong or she always thinks I'm wrong. I can't always be wrong. Like, I'm a level, for the most part, level-headed person. I'm intelligent. I'm this, I'm that. But basically, you're arguing because the other person thinks you're wrong. That is what it comes down to. You think each other's wrong, so you're arguing.
Yeah, and I think a lot of arguments are that you feel, attacked.
Yeah.
You know, your pride is...
Yeah, under attack.
Your pride's been hurt, or you feel like you feel misunderstood, or... And I think because in everyone's mind, they're right. So when someone says, like, no, depending on how you say no, it's like, oh, well, that means I'm wrong. I don't want to be wrong. I can't be wrong. Whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's... Arguments, I don't think, are just because you disagree.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you disagree all the time, and you say, oh, well, I don't want to go there for dinner. Maybe that's an example. If you say... I want to go to A for dinner and you want to go to B for dinner. That rarely becomes an argument. The disagreement isn't the problem. The problem is when your pride or whatever...
It becomes something else. It's like, you always fucking control everything we do. Like, that's
exactly,
what it comes down
yeah,
to. Say,
well, yeah.
I don't want to go there. I don't want... It's not, yeah. It's not often what
started
it.
We've had arguments like where to go for dinner because it's like... Well, you like you always want to go to that Mexican place. And then, like, you get unreasonable if I don't want to go to the Mexican place, you know.
But I moved here for you, and I left all the good Mexican food. You should let me have Mexican when I want it.
But you're right. It's not... The argument isn't, oh, well, I want to eat there. I want to eat over there. It's...
You're so indecisive.
I really want to go there, and you won't let me do what I want. Is that...
Yeah.
You know, that's the argument. And so, again, like, coming back to blame and pride and things, just think about what's my role in this argument.
We haven't been to that Mexican restaurant in a very long time. Are we ever going to go again?
Yeah, one day. Yeah.
It's been years.
We don't really go to where the Mexican place is very much anymore. We used to go all the time.
Now I really want Mexican, babe.
The last, just for people listening to this, was it the last time? Maybe not the last time. One of the times we went to this Mexican place, all my food's in front of me, I'm merrily eating it, and then I start feeling like I'm getting wet. And I was like, what the fuck? And I look around, and this restaurant's got like this old VW bus...
They, like,
right.
Hollowed out on those tables
yeah.
inside.
And we were sitting in front of this thing. I turn around, and there's some toddler, must have been, like, what, about three.
Yeah.
With spray bottles.
Like they used to clean the tables.
It was the cleaning fluid, like...
He was spraying at you.
He was spraying on me, so on my back and my hair and, like, and over my food. And I was like, one, what kind of restaurant leaves that stuff by the tables? Because he could have just eaten it, like drunk.
I think
it, you know?
Yeah, I think they had like a little cleaning station in the back of the van and he
yes.
must have got it.
The parents weren't paying any attention to this kid. The restaurant left it there and I was thinking, I've just ordered, so we had to order it all again. They did give it to us at nice cost, obviously, but that pissed me off. And then they were in like, they had the big food poisoning outbreak later on, and so yeah, it's kind of put me off going there. But,
yeah, but
and it's okay, but yeah, we have different, you know, I didn't grow up with Mexican food, you did, so
no,
that's one
I
of our bugbears.
Whenever you want it.
Which is rare. I already have curry because you don't like it.
I don't mind it at all. It
took you years, though.
I had to find something I liked.
Yeah.
Because I didn't grow up with it, so I didn't really know what I liked.
Yeah.
But all Mexican food is good.
But so just to round it off, basically, know where your role was in the argument.
Yeah.
And
which can be hard, and that's something that you need to maybe take a break from it and come back, because it's hard to see in the moment.
Oh, yeah, big time. And you have to be able to... reflect. You have to be objective about yourself. Like, self-awareness isn't easy, but I think it's really important, and that's something we've both developed over the years.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I had, because I have had to have therapy because of anxiety and stuff, and I am very aware of myself, but only of how that affects me. So having to then learn how that affects you or a different person was a new learning process.
Mm.
So just because you're self-aware doesn't mean that
you're gonna be, oh well, I can't act that way, that'll be difficult, you know, you
yeah
you will well, still have to figure it out.
And one of the things we said in the porn episode that we did was we made the point that before you were a couple, you've had this lifelong relationship with yourself, you are a rounded, developed person, and you've developed these habits and traits and how you communicate, how you like to be communicated to, preferences, all that kind of stuff, you know, you develop that over however old you are. Then all of a sudden you're in a relationship with someone you don't fully know, and they've had the same process but with a different conclusion. Yeah. So it's just this process of like learning how to mesh together.
Yeah, it is.
And then saying, okay, well, the process I've developed over 25 years is to talk to this to people, and I like to be spoken to this way, and I get offended if it's other. Then you're with a person who naturally doesn't do those things. Mm-hmm. And then you have to be self-aware to know, okay, I reacted badly to that. They're coming at it with good intent. I need to just tell them, A, that I don't like being spoken that way, and B, realise when they say those things, they don't mean it
in that way,
in an aggressive way.
Yeah.
And that's the process.
Yeah. It's tricky. It is a learning process. It's not something you're going to figure out. And as you get to know each other better and better, you'll get a better understanding and a deeper appreciation for each other, and you will get better at it. But again, I think the key things to take away is if you're going through a tricky period, like Rich said, don't feel like, oh, we're not meant to be together because we're arguing. Obviously, there's something deeper going on. That may be the case, but typically there's peaks and valleys, just like anything in life. Also, just stay respectful of each other and be patient for the process, really. It's all you can do.
Should call it a day, then?
I think that's good. I did not expect this to be an hour, but we just went and went and went.
Yeah.
We've had lots of arguments to talk about.
Yeah.
Because you're such an asshole.
Such a cunt. We apologise for the repeated use of the C-bomb.
I don't think language. He's an asshole. Just to...
I do think you're a cunt.
You cunt.
All right, until next week. Bye. Bye.